Hey, welcome to the AI Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James. Today, we're going to be diving in headfirst into how a company called Lanelit is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can use in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before I dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking at implementing AI inside of your own company or just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI agent for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take to get it finished just isn't worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today, I have with me Allison Lane, who is a book coach, author branding expert, and podcast host of a company called Lanelit. Allison Lane, she helps brilliant people turn their expertise and experience into best-selling books that unlock visibility, credibility, and next-level career moves. So excited to have you on today, Allison. How are you? And welcome to the show.
I am super jazzed because I think so many people are tentative when it comes to AI, and they kind of feel like, am I cheating? Am I asking too much? Or they get hung up on, like, is this prompt right? Or is that prompt right? Like, you can't do it wrong unless you're doing nothing at all. In which case, you guys take people by the hand and say, here's, this is how we do it, and get comfortable so you can get out of the kiddie pool. And I'm so happy to talk about how AI can be used by everyone to elevate your visibility.
Yeah,
Like
I love
pronto.
to just getting into the you don't have to be an expert necessarily. I mean, obviously being an expert's great to start, but like not everyone start. Just start swimming. Just start experimenting and seeing what it can do, just so you know like what its capability is. Well, anyways, but well, so tell me, Allison, like talk to us a little bit about Lanelit and like how did that company start and what is it doing now?
Well, that company started because 2 weeks before COVID, I got another new boss. I was leading national and, well, North American PR for a global company again after 25 years. And I got another new boss. And that dude strolled in and did not learn anyone's last name. And I
Wow.
was like, I can't. I couldn't. And I had already started helping people figure out what their hook was to pitch their book. Because after 25 years of leading PR for Unilever and Burt's Bees and The Body Shop and a ton of others,
Sure.
I was like, at some point you can do what you do on autopilot. So in my spare time, which I actually had during work hours, shh, don't tell anybody, I started a Facebook group, and I was just flummoxed, gobsmacked by how many people had a great idea for a book. They had credibility and visibility, and they didn't know, number one, what the process was, or number two, they undersold themselves, or they thought, oh, I know I have to put in my time. No, you don't. I really hope they get my book. They don't need to be a believer, like a disciple of your book. They need to know that it's a product that will sell, and that's about marketing. It's not about how, the merit of your book idea. It's about, will this book sell? And that is what people need. Just like contributing to media, you need a hook. And everyone I met was making the same fundamental mistakes. They were pleading and using diminishing language, and they undersold the biggest draw about themselves, which is, I know we're taught to be humble, but dang, your humility is boring. And it is a barrier to people understanding how you can contribute to them.
Yeah. Was that so? Talking about that, like, it seems like there's so many different hurdle? I mean, starting off, right, they have this idea and they don't know where to begin. And there might be some kind of like, you know, potholes that they might fall into, or holes that just waste their time or just derails them from their vision. Like, what are some of those, like, maybe top biggest mistakes people make when they're trying to take that transition from, hey, I've got my book idea, now how do I get to actually successfully publishing it and it's making sales?
There are two mistakes people make, and one is just an urban myth. It's just a legend. And it is that publishing your book means that you have to know somebody or you have to be discovered, which is baloney. And that makes for a great movie. And, you know, we saw that on, you see it in TV shows, but it's not actually how it works. You don't have to toil and you don't have to wait until you earn your spot. You're a grown up and you can just take the action that needs to be taken, but you have to know what it is. And that's the thing, is that when people think that that it's this big process, that's just make-believe. It's not. It's so simple. It's so simple. And the other mistake is that they don't know how to market themselves. And I don't mean develop a marketing plan for themselves. I mean, they don't know how to complete this sentence. I am a fill in the freaking blank, people. I am a... You can't say retired social studies teacher, because that's right. Not relevant to what
was past,
you
right.
are. That's a job title, but it's not, I am a storyteller for elementary school children. That helps me understand what you're doing. Or I am a globally renowned speaker coach. Thank you. I understand that. Or I'm a frequent media contributor about parenting and relationships. Thank you. But we don't need to know your job title, or I'm a freelance writer, or I'm a psychologist. Your one-liner needs to be a mic drop moment. It needs to be a power statement. And it's not usually something that would come out naturally from someone.
So it's almost like you help, like getting that first, like that one-liner is almost like the core foundation. Where if you don't have it down, like that helps, it'll knock you off the trajectory, even if it's just a few degrees. So getting that, almost like that core belief of yourself first, and then like relaying that to people who are like, okay, what do you do? Or who are you? It's paramount. Sounds like it.
It's the first step to knowing how you fit and how you can stand out, is nailing your one-liner. Nailing how you present the headline of you, of not the job you're in. You know, I'm an executive chef. Thank you. That's different than I am a master of fusion techniques and melding cultures. Like, oh, really? How do you do that? Oh, well, I'm an executive chef. Well, that's interesting. I could have gone anywhere with that. But right. The one-liner is the umbrella statement. And that's whether you're writing fiction or you want to write nonfiction. If you're an academic and you've already published a book, that publishing with a university press has a much different standard moving forward, because that they're looking at essentially like turning your thesis into a book.
Sure.
But a book that's going to be sold at Barnes & Noble, you need to be able to say, here's why I'm the right person to write this book, and make it super clear that you know and where you fit in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like getting that clarity, like for yourself, because then the people who are asking that question too, like, okay, well, what is the book? Who are you? What are you talking about? Like, if they don't have a clear vision, then like, that means you don't have a clear vision. Like there has to be like almost both sides of it. Because especially when you scale it to, and you're selling millions of copies, thousands of copies, right? Like there has to be the ultimate clarity to it. And speaking of, you know, talking a little bit about Lane Lit, you know, I definitely think it's fantastic what you're doing. I'm sure you've helped hundreds of different authors out there. But before we dive more into that, like, what talking on the AI side, what did you decide to start when and where, you know, why did you start using AI in the first place within Langlet? And ideally, what challenges were you trying to solve when implementing AI for your business and especially for your clients?
My first foray into AI was to figure out whether ChatGPT or Claude was going to be my virtual intern. Like, I needed to be able to rely on something. And I wanted a repeatable process because time is energy. And I don't have energy to waste. So I wanted to create a repeatable process for content repurposing. I am a podcast host and I also offer online courses and even one-on-one sessions with clients. And the transcripts of those are pure gold. Every word out of your mouth is content that can be repurposed, but I don't want to have to go old school, read through and highlight, which is what everyone used to do. Go through, read the transcript, and it would look like it was written on a dot matrix printer, because you're probably too young for that. But in the old days, when God was a boy, that's what we used, was a dot matrix printer.
Okay. And
you'd highlight, like, here's a phrase that maybe I can use, and you'd pull that. But now you can feed the transcript into ChatGPT or Claude and say, give me my power statements.
So it's like going back through that transcript, almost like instead of it taking hours to do, it's
hours. I mean, it used to take at least a day and a half to repurpose 1 hour of a conversation or a class or a workshop, at least a day and a half between the downloading and the uploading and the look and the wordsmithing. I'm already a wordsmith. So I, of course, have done that forever and ever, but to be able to train my custom GPT now, Belinda, who I like to yell at her because, like, I feel like
gives you satisfaction.
The whole thing of, like, I like to say please, like, screw please, do your job.
Yeah.
Talk back to me. Talk faster. Yeah, she knows her place. She delivers.
That's so funny. Yeah, I have to, like, be mindful, like, you know, using OpenAI and different, it's like, I still have to try and say please, because otherwise, like, I go talk to my wife, I'm like, hey, do this for me. She's like, whoa. Hey, how about a please? It's like, please, baby, will you go do this for me? But it is, right? It's just like getting to that, like, that first, almost like the use case or whatever it is that's saving you that time. And for you, it sounds like it was like the podcast. Was there anything else that, like, specifically that you've been using outside of, like, the podcast that you feel like, hey, this has been helpful for, you know, especially like when helping authors, like, get to their one-liner or building out their book, right? Getting that vision, like, have you been using that too for any content generation? Like, walk me through what kind of step-by-step what that's looked like.
Aside from my own marketing and the podcast, but even before the podcast, it was, what should I be putting on my website? Is my language as powerful as it needs to be? Because with the SEO scrubbing, we needed the headlines to be right. And I used to use a Chrome extension called Harpa, which had baked in prompts, which I really liked. And then ChatGPT kind of outpaced them. And so that was super helpful to get my language right and to be super specific, because, you know, if you're too broad, nobody knows what you're doing.
Right.
And I think that it helped me. And then every time I meet a new client or someone says, you know, I'm getting rejections from agents, literary agents and publishers, but I know I'm the right person. Like, yeah, because your pitch is like milquetoast. It's vanilla. It's just all the words are in the wrong order. You, like, everything's there, but you're underselling and you're using diminishing language. Like, I helped spark this campaign. You can just say, I sparked this campaign. You don't have to say helped, or words like had, or I'm on a mission to. Nobody cares what your mission is. Just tell me what you do, you know, and tightening all that language. And I used to do it by hand for people, but I just trained AI. I gave it a bunch of good examples. And now when someone gives me their draft of something, I kick it into my custom GPT, Belinda, and she knows what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So like almost like because you knew what you were doing, right? Going through, I mean, initially with the printing example, that's one example, right? But with the podcast, but even still with your clients is like as they're giving you that, all of their details of the book, and you know, hey, I'm going to go through it line by line, but you've actually created this almost like this AI bot, this agent, to where you just kind of plug in and it fine tunes it for you. And I'm sure afterwards you make a couple of adjustments like, hey, actually, I don't like this word that the AI said, or like, let me change this
because of your experience. Start to see, like, please stop using the word delve. No one delves. No one empowers. That's not the way people talk. And I'll zhuzh it because AI really likes a complete sentence. So we're not so formal around here. But it does that draft that I would give to an intern, but my intern doesn't take lunch breaks or breathe. So I like her a lot. And she's, you know, she delivers every time. The other thing I really like to do is when people are struggling with, I don't know what to write, or content creation, it's so hard. So I have two hacks and I'll give them to you because you probably know them already. But when I am putting on makeup or walking the dog, I will tuck my phone somewhere close to my face or sometimes in my bra because I'm not proud. I will do it. And I will just rant. I'll rant into my, you know, Otter or into ChatGPT, and I'll say, take notes because I'm having this thought. And then, so I'm, you know, they say, go do something mindless. And that's when your ideas come to you.
Sure.
But if you don't have a piece of paper and a pencil right then, those ideas are like, I did have an idea, but now I can't remember my idea. But now I capture those and I use that transcript and I feed it to Belinda. And I just say, pull out my power quotes, or I had that idea for a podcast episode.
Right, right.
Create an outline for me. Because time is energy and everyone has a finite amount. The other hack is that people create the best content in reaction to someone else's question. So rather than face the blank page when you are commenting on someone else's social post, someone has a question and you share something or offer a different perspective, you'll often find that you've created something that other people are commenting on, like, wow, that was really helpful. I can't believe I never thought of that. Copy, paste, use. Do not let those super helpful comments that oftentimes happen in LinkedIn groups or Facebook groups or in Discord channels, that's your content. You're pouring your expertise into something, but don't leave it out there like breadcrumbs. It's gold. Take it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. These are new perspectives that I think a lot of people listening just haven't thought about that. Like, you know, looking about, especially on the AI side, like taking notes when the idea hits you, because it can hit you in the movie theater. It can hit you at 2 o'clock in the morning, like pulling out a note.
Carpool,
sometimes they go so fast.
Yep.
Like it's going so fast. You're like, I can't keep up. In this case, you're using like almost like the AI as like a, not like a coach or anything, but I guess like kind of like the blend is like a coach where it's like, hey, you've got these ideas. Hey, let me start recording here and just start feeding these different ideas or writing down and typing the ideas and then taking that later and going, okay, here's what I'm going to do with the podcast, or here's what I'm going to do with content creation, which just, it's a new way of doing it. And then even still, like, I mean, there's so many different, I think, avenues you can take here that go back to like the time saving initiatives and like, where can I make sure that I'm capitalizing on every single comment that I make? That way I'm taking that content and I'm almost like thinking like recycling, like I'm recycling it, right? Or not even recycling, but taking it and actually creating a new element for your business or for other people. Like, I think that's game changing. You know what I mean?
It's game changing, yes, but it also means that you can create less. When you know what you're core power content is, you don't feel like you're on a hamster wheel to create more.
Right.
People don't need more. They need consistency. They need to see it again and again. So maybe they see that same power quote in a quote card, but they also see the video of me walking the dog and I'm taking a selfie video while I'm walking, because then I have the transcript, I have the audio, so I can make an audio social, I can do just a screenshot. So anything you're doing, if you have 5 minutes, you've got probably 10 pieces of content. And that's, we're just trying to make it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that perspective, Allison. It's definitely new for me, and I know probably new for a lot of people who are listening. And as far as, like, you know, that you're working in the AI, you're using AI for your business, what are some of those, like, upcoming initiatives that Lane-Lit is foreseeing? And where do you see AI kind of playing a role in your operations next?
Well, one, everyone I work with is honing their pitch, whether they're going in to meet with a publisher and the publisher says, you know, tell us what you're thinking about your marketing. You've got to really nail that. And it starts with you, because you are the brand and your book is a product. Just like your speaking gigs are a product. It's one way that people can connect with you, right? So knowing how you are the master brand of these other engagement opportunities is key. I should mention that this is so universal of a need that I created a template for myself so that I keep like my bio and all my details in one document so that I never have to waste time trying to find the last version of the bio that I had. And I keep that, and then I started providing it to all my clients, but now I just provide it to everybody for free. So it's on my website. You can go to lanelit, like literary.com/package, and just grab it. It comes with a video walkthrough, and it's the simplest document. Everything about the AI tools is just to simplify and focus. So definitely, I encourage people to do that. The way that I'm using AI now to plot and plan my strategy for the next 2 years is by asking it what I need to stop doing and what I need to start doing and what I need to continue doing. When I was running PR for Unilever,
really good.
Those were the only three questions that were ever asked to give feedback on someone. What should I start doing, stop doing, continue doing? That's it. So in order to get to, you know, my financial goal and my time goal, I don't want to work weekends. I've got kids that do all the sports, you know, all the constant practices, and working from the parking lot is no fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I need to be able to feed that into AI to say my business plan needs to change in not just scaling, but in time management. Here's what I'm doing. And because of that, it said, you know what? You need to close your Facebook community because you have a podcast now and you reach more people than you do in the community. And the podcast is public in the community. Somebody has to learn about and then want to go. And I was like, yeah, okay. Done. The next day, sorry, folks, we're closing the doors.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so paramount too, to have almost like a coach, like, hey, what should I be doing more of? And like, what should I just totally, I think that's probably the most important one is which one should I stop doing? Because that's where most of the time is being wasted. But taking that time from the stopped items and then putting it in, like say the podcast as an example, like that's going to give you almost like a higher return on your investment of your time and probably even your money, I'd imagine.
For sure. I mean, just being on your podcast and meeting you and seeking out guests who can provide value and real eye-opening moments on my podcast, which is The Author's Edge. It's the only marketing podcast for publishing. And like people don't know how to get a book published or roll that into their career. They often say, I'll get to it when things aren't so busy, or when I retire, or when I take a sabbatical. But when you retire, it's too late, because if you are not doing the thing that makes you an expert anymore, then nobody wants your book.
Yeah.
Because you're out of the game. So don't wait. Just know that there's a much easier path.
Awesome. Allison, thank you so much for your time today. Certainly, I've definitely enjoyed this conversation we've had. And I'm sure everyone else who's listening in has absolutely enjoyed it as well. Where can people learn a little bit more about LaneLit and maybe learn more about you and kind of what you do?
Well, I'm at lanelit.com for sure. Always there. That's my home base. And on social, LinkedIn is where I like to play. So it's Allison Lane Lit. And that's my tag on all the socials, but LinkedIn is my jam.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, great having you on, Allison. And remember, for everyone who's listening in today, if you're looking to implement AI into your business, don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress that the AI will cause just isn't worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage your AI agent for you. Again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Thanks again, Allison. Signing off for now, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your day and looking forward to seeing you on the next episode of AI Chronicles.